The UN Refugee Agency says the onslaught in Gaza has killed more children than 4 years of war around the world. The situation in the occupied West Bank and al-Quds is getting tense as Israeli forces escalate their deadly crackdown on Palestinians during the month of Ramadan. And the Israeli military conducts a drone attack on a car in southern Lebanon, killing at least 2 civilians.
Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mies. Thanks for joining us.
The American-Israeli genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza is now in its 159th day, with the regime relentlessly pounding the entire besieged territory with warplanes and artillery. The latest Israeli airstrikes hit residential areas in Rafah, the southern city, where nearly 1.5 million displaced people are enduring extremely dire conditions. Additionally, the regime's airstrikes targeted areas in the central city of Deir al-Balah. The Jabalia refugee camp and the southern city of Khan Yunis were struck as well. The health ministry in Gaza says around 100 have lost their lives in a matter of 24 hours. It adds that nearly 31,300 Palestinians have been killed since the onslaught began in early October. Most of those killed are women and children. The UN says the number of Palestinian children killed during the first 4 months of the war in Gaza has stopped those killed in 4 years of conflicts across the globe. The Gaza government says sending an aid ship from Cyprus to the besieged territory is not sufficient for millions of starving people. The spokesman for the government's press office says the ship's cargo does not exceed that of 1 or 2 trucks, and it will take days to arrive. He also stressed that there are some logistical uncertainties about the operation and raised concerns regarding Israeli inspections. Salama Maruf noted that a maritime aid corridor is far less efficient than overland routes. He called for international pressure on Israel to let aid trucks through its border crossings. A ship carrying 200 tons of aid left Cyprus on Tuesday as part of a pilot project to deliver supplies to a population that is on the verge of famine. While several more Palestinians have lost their lives in the latest raids on the Israeli forces, launched on Tuesday evening on several parts of the occupied West Bank. Mona Kandil, our correspondent in Ramallah, joined us earlier with details. Let's take a listen.
Unfortunately, as you were saying, it seems that in less than 24 hours, the Israeli forces shot and killed 6 Palestinians all over the occupied West Bank. The latest Palestinian is yet another Palestinian minor, this time 14-year-old Mohammed Abu Hamid from the village of Al-Khadr, South Bethlehem. The Israeli military claimed that Mohammed Abu Hamid arrived on an electric bicycle at the tunnel's checkpoint at the entrance to Al-Quds and near Bethlehem. They claimed that he had a knife and that he succeeded to stab 2 Israeli soldiers. They were wounded and they are in light to moderate conditions. The Israeli forces then opened fire immediately at this 14-year-old Palestinian. They shot him and killed him and confiscated his body. Earlier, the Israeli forces stormed Jenin refugee camp and the city of Jenin, and exchange of fire have taken place between the Palestinian fighters and the Israeli forces. 2 Palestinians were shot and killed. At least one of them was shot and killed by the Israeli forces while he was inside the complex of the Jenin government hospital, where clashes have been taking place outside the hospital, and the Israeli forces opened fire at the people there at the conflicts of the hospital, and 1 Palestinian was killed there. Earlier, 2 Palestinians were shot and killed at the village of Ajib, northwest Al-Quds. The Israelis claimed that a day earlier, Palestinians threw explosive devices or cocktail or Molotov cocktails at the Israeli military checkpoint there. Earlier, there's another Palestinian, this time in Shafat refugee camp in Al-Quds, after the, Al-Maghrib and iftar of the first day, the second day of Ramadan. He was at the outside his home playing with a number of his relatives. The Israeli forces opened fire and shot him in the chest. Then they claim that he was playing with fireworks with the other children, and that's why the Israeli forces opened fire at him, shot him and killed him. The number of the Palestinians who were shot and killed by the Israeli soldiers since the 7th of October is today over 430 Palestinians.
An Israeli drone strike on a car near the southern Lebanese city of Tar has killed a member of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. The drone hit the vehicle near the Palestinian refugee camp of Rashidiya. The assassinated Hamas member has been identified as Hadi Mustafa. According to security sources, a civilian who was passing by on his motorcycle was also killed in the strike. Reports say the Israeli drone was hovered above the site for several minutes before targeting the car. Soon after the strike, sirens were also heard in the occupied territories, indicating possible retaliatory attacks by Lebanon's Hezbollah movements on Israeli targets. Tensions remain high between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime launched its genocidal war in Gaza in early October. Both sides have been exchanging fire, but Israel has intensified attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Earlier, we spoke to our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, for more information on the latest tensions between Israel and Lebanon.
We do not have confirmation or the names of those who were killed in that vehicle, but it is pretty close to one of the Palestinian refugee camps in South Lebanon. It is possible that there is a Palestinian figure that was in the vehicle. It could also be a member of the resistance. We know now that after the strike against this car, sirens were sounding in several areas in the Western Galilee parts, and so that is probably we have those sirens because Hezbollah seems to have launched several rockets. We also know that rockets were fired toward the Golan Heights. That is something that Hezbollah has also maintained is part of its scope of operations as well. But we also know that there's a lot of threats from the Israelis, a lot of talk that they want to go on with a blow against Lebanon, a full-scale war. You have elites within the Israeli regime. It's not the time now for any sort of war against Hezbollah, against Lebanon, while the war in Gaza remains. And he said very clearly this, these elite figures and other political figures also in the Israeli regime are stressing that we all know that Hezbollah is not going to stop until the war in Gaza stops.
When it comes to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he is somewhat the poster boy for Israeli politics. His premiership, however, has been heavily criticized on a variety of fronts, putting him at odds not only with the Israeli population, but even Israel's closest allies, like the U.S. Some have even gone as far as saying that his policies have put Israel at risk, like the U.S.-Israel genocidal war. Let's see whether these points are true or not.
When it comes to the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, he's known these days not for his successes, but rather for his failures. He's failed at many endeavors that he's undertaken, and as a result, perhaps like no other time, Israel finds itself facing not only an existential threat from the outside, but also from within as well. Going into the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was already on a weak footing. He'd already lost three elections, forcing him into a coalition with extreme far-right politicians with extreme ideas, like the judicial reforms, which led to some of the biggest demonstrations Israel has ever witnessed, and actions against Palestinians, like Al-Aqsa Mosque desecrations and administrative detentions. Moving on to what was described as the worst intelligence failure in Israel's history, and quite rightly so, Operation Al-Aqsa Flood exposed Israel's weakness on many fronts. Some of those intelligence failures included underestimating Hamas's capabilities and Hamas's intentions, overestimating the effectiveness of Israel's security services, and disregarding its own intelligence warnings. The U.S.-Israeli genocidal war waged against Palestinians had two goals, yet Netanyahu and his regime forces have failed in achieving any of them. For one, the goal of eradicating Hamas remains as elusive as ever. The Israeli regime has actually lost 350 of its own forces, though that number is believed to be a lot higher. The other failure, the release of the captives out of The 136 remaining ones, 52 were killed as a result of Israel's continued bombardments. And as a matter of fact, on Hamas, a recent annual threat assessment compiling U.S. intelligence has warned that Israel will be challenged by Hamas for many years. It said that Israel probably will face lingering armed resistance from Hamas for years to come. And the Israeli military will struggle to neutralize Hamas's underground infrastructure, which allows insurgents to hide, regain strength, and surprise Israeli forces. That's, of course, quoting that report. The push by Netanyahu to continue the genocidal war with the support for the U.S. has eroded Israel's international standing in a big way. One way that is evident is through the boycott campaign, which has seen many countries, in particular the Muslim countries, to boycott name brands like Coca-Cola, Starbucks, and McDonald's, leading to massive layoffs and loss of income. Another more visible move, large-scale anti-Israel protests, which have happened in almost all corners of the world on a weekly basis in some countries. And even Israel's strongest backer, the U.S. President Joe Biden, has said, who is a fervent Zionist, is realizing how the U.S. is slowly becoming collateral damage to Netanyahu's belligerent policies. The U.S. president has accused Netanyahu of harming Israel more than benefiting it due to innocent lives being lost, warning Israel's prime minister that an invasion of Rafah would be a red line, and to go as far as saying this could spell a U.S. policy shift against Israel. Israel's economy is also on a downward spiral due to Netanyahu's insistence to continuing the aggression. Israel's GDP has suffered a negative 20% contraction, with accounts so far for the loss of between $51 billion to $100 billion. Credit ratings agency Moody's has downgraded Israel's credit rating, while Israel is having a labor force crisis unable to fill vacancies in key sectors like construction, agriculture, and, of course, the key tech sector. The U.S. Intel report we mentioned earlier points to other failures by Prime Minister Netanyahu, which may point to his time in office as being limited. The report said the mass civilian casualties have hindered efforts for Israel's normalization with Arab countries, like Saudi Arabia in particular. It said that distrust in Netanyahu and protests demanding his resignation will persist well after the aggression is over, which may lead him to leaving office. And finally, Israel's genocidal actions against Palestinians in this genocidal war led by Prime Minister Netanyahu couldn't be more on display when it was brought before a court of justice. The International Court of Justice cited Israel's multiple violations like genocide, occupation, settlements, movement restrictions, and illegal detentions. It even went as far as questioning the legality of the Israeli regime on occupied Palestinian land.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, thousands of Jordanians rallied in Amman and across the country to protest against Israel's genocidal war in Gaza.
Today, on the first day of Ramadan, we are standing before the genocide, the enforced hunger and killing, the targeting of children, women, and unarmed civilians, and the demolition of houses over inhabitants. Of course, our message is to create a humanitarian land corridor to northern Gaza, where the Palestinian citizens suffer from hunger and dehydration inflicted by the Zionist enemy that is leading this offensive war, this genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian people.
Carrying Palestinian flags and banners, the protesters chanted pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel slogans. They also demanded unhindered delivery of aid to Gaza as they gathered near the Israeli embassy. Jordan is hosting 2.4 million Palestinian refugees and has witnessed several rallies in solidarity with Gazans since Israel launched its war on the besieged strip. Similar rallies have also taken place in other countries as well. Well, thousands of Iranian legal experts and attorneys have joined the global movement of lawyers who have volunteered to file a genocide complaint against Israel at the International Criminal Court, referred to as the Army of Lawyers for Palestine. The initiative has so far mobilized more than 200,000 lawyers worldwide. Gisumi Shahmadi has the details.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles de Verre, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign.
We are witnessing a new movement in the world. The atrocities committed in Gaza are no longer only a matter that concerns Muslim countries. Far from it. Here we have a French lawyer that has started an initiative that brought together 300 lawyers from across the world in less than 10 days, and that number grew rapidly to 100,000. And now with the MOU that we have signed at the Iran Judiciary Bar, that number will be rising to 50,000 lawyers. With Iran on board, you can also expect lawyers from Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in as well.
And an optimistic Gilles de Verre, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is going to be a tough battle, without a doubt. But in just a few months, all these lawyers have joined us. This kind of solidarity is unprecedented. We have never seen so many lawyers join hands for one purpose in history. So this is a great sign, because it won't be enough to tell a judge, look, there's no many of us. Instead, we have to be able to defend Palestine with strong legal arguments. And by the looks of things, we have a solid base for that.
His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way.
The ICJ order specifically spoke about creating a humanitarian corridor and a humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The United States and Israel were saying that the word ceasefire did not exist in the ICJ order. But this is not true, because the humanitarian aid on the ground at scale cannot be delivered without an effective and immediate ceasefire.
It is very clear that we are witnessing a birth of new age. A new movement of justice-seeking people from all over the world is emerging, and that is why, while the South African government files a complaint, we see a grassroots movement also taking shape, a very unique one that has brought together lawyers who are seeking justice in the battle between good and evil.
And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach. These lawyers believe that we live in a new era, in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Iran, Russia, and China are continuing the joint naval drills in northern Indian Ocean. The spokesman for the drill says vessels from the three countries carried out shooting practices at naval targets. Rear Admiral Mustafa Tajuddini said the exercise, dubbed as Marine Security Belt 2024, was led by Iran's homemade destroyer, Dena. The vessels went into an attack formation and participated in a photo exercise. The drills were supervised by Iranian helicopters. The maneuvers, which will end on Friday, are aimed at reinforcing regional security, fighting piracy, and expanding cooperation among participating countries. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish. We'll be right back.
in the limelight.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says there will be no agreement with the Israeli regime before full cessation of its aggression against the Gaza Strip and withdrawal of all its military forces from Gaza. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The head of the Political Bureau of the Palestinian Resistance Movement Hamas says there will be no agreement with the Israeli regime before full cessation of its aggression against Gaza and withdrawal of all its military forces from Gaza. Ismail Haniyeh made the remarks in a televised speech on Sunday evening, 10th of March, on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan. Haniyeh said, "We do not want an agreement that does not end the Israeli war on Gaza Strip or ensure return of our displaced people to their homes, or an agreement that does not guarantee the withdrawal of the Zionist enemy from the Gaza Strip." Ismail Haniyeh stressed that any agreement with the Israeli regime must also address humanitarian issues in Gaza, including provision of relief, aid and shelter, as well as reconstruction of the territory, while ending the Israeli siege and guaranteeing a dignified deal for the exchange of prisoners. Ismail Haniyeh added, "We absolutely do not want an agreement that does not address humanitarian issues of our people, especially in the northern Gaza Strip, where children, the elderly and women are dying because of hunger imposed by the enemy." The head of Hamas's political bureau added that the movement has shown the highest degree of positivity and responsibility in order to achieve an agreement based on these principles. Haniyeh noted that any possible agreement should be implemented in three stages and must include international guarantees to oblige the occupying regime to abide by it. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ismail Haniyeh emphasized that the Zionist enemy bears full responsibility for not reaching any agreement during the ongoing talks, as it avoids giving any clear guarantees. Haniyeh said, "I tell you clearly, responsibly and impartially that the enemy has so far refrained from giving clear guarantees and commitments, especially with regards to stopping its war of aggression against Gaza." Haniyeh affirmed that Hamas and its leadership are open to continuation of negotiations and any formula that would end the aggression against Gaza and Israel's crimes against Palestinians. In his speech, he also mentioned that Hamas will not compromise on any drop of blood of a child, woman, elder, or fighter from our people. Meanwhile, the Israeli military have attacked hundreds of Palestinian worshippers heading to the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied West Bank city of Al-Quds to perform Taraweeh prayers, preventing their entry into the sacred site. Eyewitnesses said the Israeli military detained Palestinian citizens at the gates of the Al-Aqsa Mosque during Sunday evening attack, 10th of March, and impeded their access to it, according to the Palestinian Wafa News Agency report. Israeli military have also imposed restrictions on young men entering Al-Aqsa Mosque to perform Taraweeh prayer, only allowing women above the age of 40 to enter. The Israeli regime has been imposing a strict siege on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and blocking Palestinians' access to it since 5 months ago, when it started its war of genocide on the besieged Gaza Strip. Israel has also issued dozens of deportation orders against Palestinian residents of the city of Al-Quds to prevent them from praying during the holy month of Ramadan. Reacting to the regime's restrictions on the holy site, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement issued a statement on Sunday, 10th of March, warning that Israel is playing with fire. The desecration of the blessed Al-Aqsa Mosque by the occupation and the settler gangs and a restriction on the movement and access of Palestinian worshippers to it is playing with fire. Meanwhile, the leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement has reiterated that the Yemeni nation's unflinching support for the Palestinian cause, emphasizing that the country's armed forces will continue their retaliatory strikes in the Red Sea during the holy month of Ramadan. Speaking in a televised speech from the Yemeni capital Sana'a on Sunday, 10th of March, Abdul Malik al-Houthi said, "The Yemeni naval forces will press ahead with their campaign in solidarity with the Palestinians." He praised the people of Yemen for staging mass pro-Palestine rallies across the country on a weekly basis. Abdul Malik al-Houthi said, "The demonstrators who converge on the Al-Sabin Square in Sana'a every week are doing a great job. They're treading the righteous path," he said. The Ansarullah chief went on to describe participation in pro-Palestine rallies as highly important, noting that the mass rallies send a clear message to the enemies that Yemeni operations against the Israeli regime, United States of America and Britain, particularly with regards to ships in the Red Sea heading for Israeli ports, are supported wholeheartedly by the Yemeni population. It said, "It's a matter of pride for Yemenis to be recognized as the noble warriors with a clear understanding of the Muslim world's sufferings and miseries of the oppressed Palestinian nation." VOA News has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli regime and the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas have traded blame over the deadlock in negotiations just before Ramadan, which begins on or around 10th of March and is observed by Muslims worldwide. A Hamas source told the Reuters news agency the group's delegation was unlikely to make another visit to Cairo, Egypt over the weekend for talks. Egypt, the United States and Qatar have been mediating negotiations since last January. Under a draft of the current ceasefire agreement, 40 captives would be released in exchange for dozens of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas blamed the Israeli regime for a deadlock in the negotiations, saying it refuses to give guarantees to end the war or to pull all its military forces from Gaza. Israeli officials have said the war will end only with the defeat of the resistance movement Hamas. In a statement on Saturday, 9th of March, just before the start of the blessed month of Ramadan, Hamas's political chief Ismail Haniyeh vowed the Palestinians will continue to fight the Israeli regime until they regain their freedom and independence. Meanwhile, dozens of Palestinian families in the southern Gaza city of Rafah were left homeless on Saturday when the Israeli military struck one of the largest residential towers there, claiming the block was used by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. The Israeli attack on Rafah has stepped up pressure on the enclave. At least 1.5 million Palestinians have taken refuge in the southern Gaza city of Rafah.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him,
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are going to focus on the 151st sermon of Nahjul Balagha, where certain important references are made to the issue of how to manage and lead in a proper way. Inshallah, we shall come to those discussions very soon. I welcome you all and congratulate you into the banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the banquet of mercy and love of God towards His creation, a month which is a Shahru Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands His mercy for everyone and for all of creation, especially for those who seek to come closer to Him. And we pray to Allah that this month becomes a source of mercy and spiritual progress for everyone, inshallah.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, coming back to our discussion on the topic of a guide to managers, we are in the presence of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is a master in the issue of management, a man who has seen the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, a man who has experience in different areas of leadership, and now we see him at the helm of a powerful institute, a nation of the Muslim world. Although he had to inherit a system that was not the best, or rather which was going towards the wrong direction, he inherited that. And he had the big duty of bringing this ship that was going in the wrong direction back to its track. So this was a very heavy task. Apart from just normal management, the whole idea of bringing back the ship of the Muslim Ummah on its tracks was a big and phenomenal task, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tawfiq to be able to. Of course, being an imam, being a person of extremely powerful insight and very powerful spiritual, you can say, understanding of different phenomena in this world, he was able to handle this in the best way. So taking guidance from him in these issues is something that is very, very pertinent. We see that in this sermon number 151, he mentions a very important point which is worth discussing. And that is about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why we want to discuss this is because once a system, especially managers, when they get power or when they come into authority, with time, blessings begin to show up. And when these blessings show themselves, how do we interact with these blessings? What should be our reaction with regards to these blessings? It's a very, very important thing to consider. So Imam Ali alayhi salam in this sermon says a very important thing. He says, فَاتَّقُوا سَكَرَاتِ النِّعْمَةِ, that, O people, fear or protect yourselves from سَكَرَاتِ النِّعْمَةِ, from the drunkenness of blessings. That means fear, or ittaqu, that means protect yourselves from what? From being drunk by blessings, from entering into a state of drunkenness because of those blessings. Inshallah, we shall discuss more about this statement. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, before we dive into this statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam and try to remove or to extract those pearls that are hidden in this message, we will try to discuss what was the context of this sermon. So, you know, in the sermon isn't very long, but you see, as you know, in Arabic, you know, when you say khutbah, khutbah, that means a sermon, can be even for a few seconds, like 30 seconds. It can be a very short khutbah. Sometimes it has to be a long one. So it depends on the context and how it was said. But all of these are said known as khutbahs. And basically when Imam Ali alayhi salam wants to start in the early sections of this sermon, he says, ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ مَعْشَرَ الْعَرَبِ, that, O people who are Arabs, basically, O Arabian people, O Arabs, basically. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ مَعْشَرَ الْعَرَبِ أَغْرَاضُ بَلَايَا قَدْ اِقْتَرَبِ, that, O people who are Arabs, or O Arab, O Arabians, basically, you are the aim, or you are the goal of various tribulations that have come close to you, of various tests that have come close to you. قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ. And this is a very powerful statement. It's like Imam Ali alayhi salam wants to drive the attention of people onto a certain direction. He wants them to realize and show them something about the future. Okay, tell them something about what's going to happen. ثُمَّ إِنَّ مَعْشَرَ الْعَرَبْ أَغْرَاضُ بَلَايَا قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ. So he's trying to awaken them to see and to increase their foresight with regards to what's going to happen. Inshallah, we shall discuss about the context a little bit more and then go into our actual interpretation from the guidance of our scholars as to what Imam Ali alayhi salam wants to say in this sermon. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio. قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين
دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Dubbed a mighty legal battle waged by South Africa at the International Court of Justice, ICJ, against the Zionist regime for its genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza, some apologists for the Zionist entity have raised the mantra that the case was a futile exercise. To their dismay, however, the top UN court upheld South Africa's request and ordered the Zionist regime to take all steps to prevent genocidal acts in the besieged Palestinian territory. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Recipe wrote, between then and now, all evidence points to the fact that not only has the Zionist regime disregarded the ICJ ruling, but has blatantly acted against it by intensifying its murderous campaign against Palestinians in Gaza. It is due to this flagrant violation of the ICJ ruling that the Geneva-based human rights organization, the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, issued a statement calling on member states of the Hague-based ICJ to cut off all forms of political, military, and economic relations with the Zionist regime. In an important exercise over the course of the 4 weeks since the ICJ decision, And as part of monitoring South Africa's lawsuit against the Zionist regime for violating its obligations under the Genocide Convention, Euromed Monitor has documented several Israeli regime violations since October 7, 2023. Six fundamental indicators were used by Euromed Monitor to track Israel's level of compliance with the ICJ ruling: mass killing, causing serious physical or mental harm, imposing living conditions meant to purposefully cause material destruction and starvation, obstructing the delivery of humanitarian supplies, imposing an environment meant to prevent childbirth, and public incitement to continue committing genocide. The result of the Euromed's monitor's research demonstrates that, from evidence it examined, Benjamin Netanyahu's army is still carrying out genocide against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. The persistent violation of international law and the Geneva Convention in utter contempt of the highest court of justice has led 50-plus countries to make oral submissions to the top UN court based in The Hague on the illegality of occupation, settlements, and apartheid. Though these are distinct from South Africa's genocide case, they point to widespread global outrage against the Zionist regime's arrogant behavior, and unprecedented indeed for so many countries to emerge one after the other and fearlessly make formidable legal arguments as to why the ICJ should hold Israel accountable. However, the first important test these countries have to pass is one of integrity. The second crucial test rests on whether they are committed to acting under strong concerns. According to Euromed Monitor, during the period since the ICJ ruled a halt on genocide, Netanyahu's army has killed over 3,847 Palestinians, including 1,306 children and 807 women, and injured approximately 5,119 people, bringing the total number of Palestinian deaths since October 7th to 38,067, including 14,350 children, 8,620 women and 8,000 people who are still buried beneath the debris of demolished buildings or on the streets. And the bloody juggernaut rolls on in utter disdain for the prohibitions imposed by the ICJ. It's a pattern all too familiar with Palestinians, who correctly argue that while denunciation is necessary, the Zionist entity will remain defiant unless accountability is enforced via concrete steps. The necessary actionable steps are recommended by Euromed Monitor, with which the Media Review Network concurs, include cutting off all political, economic, and most importantly, military ties. Unless such measures are undertaken, the apartheid colonial entity will regard it as a license to continue its genocide against the Palestinian people. It's important to note here that, on the same score, 30 UN experts have demanded an immediate halt of arms exports to the Zionist regime. They asserted that any transfer of weapons or ammunition to Israel that would be used in Gaza is likely to violate international humanitarian law and must cease immediately. They added such transfers are prohibited even if the exporting state does not intend the arms to be used in violation of the law or does not know with certainty that they would be used in such a way, as long as there is a clear risk. Referring to the ICJ decision, the UN experts rightly conclude that the need for an arms embargo on the Zionist regime is heightened by the International Court of Justice ruling on January 26, 2024, that there is a risk of genocide in Gaza and the continuing serious harm to civilians since then. Far from normalizing with genocidal Israel, as some Arab despots are inclined to do, solidarity with Palestine's freedom struggle requires a comprehensive boycott and effective arms embargo of the apartheid regime.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We are in the month of Ramadan and fasting is not only practice of preventing one from eating food or drinking water. No, it is much more than this. It is much more than this. As we discussed, it is discussed in Fiqh Hadith, that fasting means when you fast, you have to fast with your eyes, with your hands, with your legs, with your stomach, with your tongue. You control all parts of your body, and this is the true fast and the fast of awliya, those close ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a beautiful hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, As-sawm fi shita al-ghanimat al-barida. Fasting in the winter time when temperature is not very hot and you can easily fast, it's a cold blessing. You are blessed while you are not in big trouble. And we have another hadith where Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi says, "Afdalul jihad as-sawm fil har." The highest level of efforts in fasting is in the summertime when the weather is hot. So basically, either we are in the cold times, in the winter times, or we are in the hot times. So both are blessings. When you are fasting in the cold days, it's another blessing for you. You can simply fast, and you can fast as much as possible because it's a winter time, so you can fast a lot, and you can make a lot of efforts, and you can make a lot of rewards with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very good. But when you fast in the hot days, in the summer days, then Imam Sadiq says, "Afdalul jihad as-sawm fil har." That is the highest effort you can take, the highest effort you can make. I mean, it is hard fasting for 18 hours in the day. It is hard preventing one from food, from drinking water, preventing yourself from all of your organs from not doing, committing any sin. So it's a kind of hard, and it has its own rewards, because Imam says this is afdalul jihad. Jihad in English means when you do efforts, really big efforts. That is called jihad. Jihad is not always fighting. When you wake up in the night time to help your parents, it's a jihad. When you go to feed a needy person, it's a jihad. When you go work hard for your family, for your children, for your wife, it's a jihad. So jihad has tons of meanings. Meaning, the main meaning of jihad is when you try hard. And one of the trying hard is when you do battle for the sake of Islam. So this is another jihad. So basically, jihad means when you try. Imam says, "Afdalul jihad as-sawm fil har." The topmost efforts when you do, that is in the summertime when you fast. Fasting in the hot days is a great effort. So in any case, you can fast all the year. And as I said, I think in some programs, that fasting is one of the best worship you can offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is the topmost worship, almost one of the topmost worship, because when you fast, you feel the pain of a hunger. When you fast, you kill your nafs, you destroy, I mean not destroy, but in a sense, you put your nafs down, and you take your nafs down, because nafs means desires. Desires wants you this and that, and you control yourself, and you say no to yourself, to manage yourself, to balance yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is truly, that's a truly and real fasting. May Allah give us tawfiq to fast as Allah wants from us, and Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt want it from us, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
In the 2024 annual threat assessment report issued on Monday, United States intelligence agencies point at the risk of broader conflict related to the Israeli war against Gaza. The report also notes that Netanyahu's viability as a leader, as well as his governing coalition of far-right parties, may be in jeopardy. Welcome to The Spotlight. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Stay with us, and we'll review and discuss different aspects of the Israeli failures in the deadly onslaught against Gaza in the eyes of U.S. intelligence apparatus. Now, let me introduce our guests.